This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Trey, tell us about this session. What happened?
Well, we had a series of questions that we decided we would ask and see if anything, you know, wanted to communicate with us, you know, through this, through this procedure. And much to our surprise, it appeared as though something did. Something was trying to communicate with us. It responded to our questions about the boxes and the portals. And when I started asking questions about, you know, what kind of phenomenologies, you know, were responsible for these portals, you know, was it electromagnetic fields, you know, and radiation combined, or was it, you know, plasma and electromagnetic fields, perhaps, like, you know, some scientists have speculated, small singularities exist in our upper atmosphere from the sun's magnetic fields and plasma. Whatever it is we were talking to through, you know, the Estes protocol started becoming very agitated, you know, very, I'm not going to say angry, but very put upon, you know, very impatient. The cool thing is we have this whole session on film. And in the book, obviously I can't put a film in the book, but I have a transcript of that session so people can actually read, you know, what the questions were and what the responses.
Interesting. Okay. You lost me a little bit on the, when this was. Is this still on the April 8, 2018 mission?
No, this is November 2019.
Oh, okay. So we're into November 2019 now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
So no problem. So that was pretty much the highlight of that expedition. And we returned back to the meadow just a few months later in January of 2020. So we're just about a year out. Now, this is, you know, fairly recent. We were not able to have a whole lot of members show up at that particular outing. It was just about three of us. And we didn't have enough to really do investigations in a safe manner. So we decided we would just have a nice camping trip, you know, with the three of us, enjoy each other's company, you know, just kind of have a quiet weekend. But we did decide to go out and, as we usually do, go out and take some baseline readings. And one thing that my research partner, Kristen, who's an emergency room nurse, she and I decided we were going to cross a creek to the north of the meadow and explore what was on the other side. And we crossed the creek, and somehow I became very disoriented and thought that I had discovered a new meadow, you know, a new field on the other side of the creek, when in fact I had come back and was in the original meadow that I started at. Now, a little bit of my background. I'm an Eagle Scout. I've earned the Boy Scouts 50-miler award for paddling and backpacking three times. That's 50 consecutive miles. So I've done long-range hiking and paddling. I'm a former Army intelligence officer. I've hunted big game in Africa and in North America. I've spent most of my life in the woods. So, I just don't get twisted around that often.
Was this at night, though?
No, during the day.
Oh, God. Okay. So, you know, I thought I might have had you there.
No, but during the day.
This does not make too much sense, then,
no,
does it?
No, and I'd been to this meadow, you know, probably 50 times. So I walk back into the meadow, and I'm thinking it's a new place. And, I'm telling Kristen, I said, hey, you know, I found this new field over here. It's really cool. Come over and look at it. And she said, whoa, just stay where you're at. I'll be right there. And she came over, and she goes, you're in the meadow. I said, yeah, no, I'm in a new meadow. She goes, no, this is the meadow.
So it's like you walked through some sort of, you know, again, I mean, for lack of a better term,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I was totally disoriented, and base camp radioed back, and they said, you know, okay, you know, give us an update. And Kristen's like, okay, Trey's really disoriented. And they became concerned, you know, much like this wasn't too far from the place where Bob had experienced his missing time several years prior. And they were concerned, and they, you know, got on the radio and said, are you okay? I said, guys, just give me about 10 minutes, okay? I'm really confused and disoriented right now. Just give me some time to get my wits about me. And as I stood there, I became, you know, less and less disoriented. When we got back, we had a data logger running with one of our Geiger counters. The baseline of radiation for that area is about 0.05 microsieverts of radiation, which is, you know, a very low level. You know, it's background. But at the moment that this disorientation happened, it spiked up to 0.33 microsieverts. Once again, not a dangerous amount of radiation, but from an empirical standpoint, it was a significant increase over 0.05, so six times as much. So very interestingly, that happened when I became disoriented. And I started thinking about this, is if we hadn't have been following our protocols of having another individual with us when we research, always have a map and compass, a GPS, and radio communications with Basecamp, if we hadn't have followed those protocols, would I have ended up as a chapter in one of Dave Pilate's missing 411 books? Is that happening to these people when they become missing and disappear in America's forest lands? Was I almost a victim? Thankfully, we won't ever know.
Well, the forests are strange places. You know, like I had mentioned earlier in the show, two other friends of mine and I experienced something very similar. One of them just sort of writes it off as being, you know, kind of overtired. The other one, I mean, we looked at each other when it happened and we went, yeah, that was totally, I don't know how to explain that, but it involved a change in the time of day that happened almost instantaneously. So, I mean, strange things do happen, and the forest seems to be one of the favorite places for it to happen.
I think, you know, part of that is we're not as distracted, you know, when we're in the forest. We don't have the overstimuli that we have in an urban area, you know, sounds and lights and people and noises and stresses and all of that. I think we're maybe a little bit more in tune to what's going on around us when we're in the forest. And also, forests, these areas are more pristine. You know, they haven't been paved over, they haven't been built on, they haven't been encroached upon, and they're allowed to exist in their natural and pristine, you know, nature. So, and there's a, you know, a wide history, a wide number of strange areas or strange epicenters in the forest, you know, throughout the world. And this is just one of many.
Why did you guys, like, choose to go out at night so often? Was it just because it was like, hey, you know, like, we've got this equipment and we want to use it, so let's go out and be cool and check this out and do this mission? Or, you know, was there a specific purpose for doing the nighttime expeditions?
Yeah, good question. Good question. One of the things that is reported in this region and that we have seen ourselves are strange lights in the forest, flashes, like orbs, you know, beams of light. So our rationale is, where was I?
You were just explaining why you guys decided to go out at night.
Okay. We go out at night primarily because some of the reports in this region are of strange lights in the forest, you know, be they flashes of light, orbs, or in the case when we were backpacking, a beam of light, you know, shooting down the fire break. So our rationale is if we go out during the day, that these strange, you know, luminous anomalies might not be detected because of the sunlight. So we think that we have a better chance of detecting some of this stuff if it's at night.
That makes perfect sense. And a lot of strange phenomena does seem to happen at night, although there are daylight sightings as well. Are there reports of anything like daylight discs or creatures that have been seen during the day or missing time during the day?
In this area, there have been reports of daytime creature sightings. There have been some reports in this general region of daylight UAP sightings. But there's also a whole lot of reports of luminosity, you know, strange lights in the forest.
So the book is called The Metal Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch. The author with us is Trey Hudson. The foreword to the book was written by Angelia Shear. And by the way, Trey will be back on this weekend's edition of After the Paracast. That show only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus For more information with Trey, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, Trey Hudson, I do notice that you're using the acronym UAP as opposed to UFO. Any preference, or are you just trying to be current?
Just trying to be current. I mean, you know, UAP has become, you know, if you will, the official, you know, terminology, you know, from the government. So we don't know if these things are objects. And the reason I use UAP, phenomena versus object, is the more I think about this and the more I ponder it, is perhaps these aren't objects in the traditional sense of what we understand objects are. You know, maybe they're ultra-dimensional things that come into our existence that might not be an actual object in the way we understand objects, as far as things having mass, height, width, and breadth. So I think UAP is maybe a little bit more accurate terminology, and that's just my preference.
Interesting. Yeah, right. UFO is a very specific term. It was created by the military. It's still found in many military documents. UAP, they started using as well, but that kind of seemed to originate with a group called NARCAP. Mm-hmm. And so they differentiate UAP from UFOs. And so sometimes people get mixed up. I think it's important for people to not get mixed up. And that means if you're talking about UAP, you might not be talking about, just as you pointed out, some sort of an alien craft. But when you're talking about a UFO, you're talking about an alien craft.
Right, right. And, you know, if I see a light in the sky, it's a light in the sky. I don't know if it's attached to an object or not. So it's a UAP, a phenomenon.
Right, exactly. Yeah, in the old days, they just say, okay, well, that can be put into a UFO report. That doesn't mean the object in the report was a UFO. It was just some strange light in the sky.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're on the same page there.
With our very, very limited staff that we had with us back in January of 2020, that was about all that happened to us, you know, other than, you know, me being very, you know, very rattled by that and still, you know, a bit flummoxed by exactly what happened. We decided to go back in June of 2020, and we were not able to camp at our usual campsite, the Cold Springs campground. We had to set up in a place called Baskins Hollow Hunt Camp. And the reason for that is we were right in the midst of COVID, and the state had closed off the actual designated campsites. So you were only able to do what they call dispersed camping. So we set up a few miles away from our normal base of operations and had a pretty quiet evening and weekend. We had decided we were going to try the CE5 protocol, which was developed by Dr. Stephen Greer. And we went out to the meadow and, you know, did the CE5 protocol. And really didn't have much happen, other than we noticed a lot of things that appeared to be satellites traversing the sky east to west, north to south, about 50 or 60 of them, a very high number. And we went back to our camp, and our base camp operator that had stayed behind, because he had some medical issues where he wasn't able to go out with us, he said that he had a very strange thing happen to him. Yes, he is sitting there, you know, in the middle of the night, pitch black, and he hears a vehicle coming down the road there in the nature preserve that was adjacent to our camp. And anybody that's ever heard a vehicle drive down a remote gravel road, it makes a very distinctive sound. So he heard this sound of a vehicle, or what he thought was a vehicle, coming towards him, or coming towards our camp. And so he waited to see the headlights of the vehicle, and none ever appeared. This particular area, at night, on a moonless night, it's pitch black. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And it would be virtually impossible to someone drive a vehicle down this road at night unless they had the most advanced military night vision equipment available. And even then, it would be very foolhardy. So you boil that down, and what he heard was something pass by our camp, not emitting any lights, not making any sound, and something that appeared, or something that sounded like the crunching of gravel. He also noticed at this time, he was running his Geiger counter, is there was a small radiation spike at this time. Once again, distinctly different than the background radiation. Once again, we have a strange radiation spike. Let me back up a little bit. When we were doing our Estes sessions, whenever the entity would answer, is we would have radiation spikes going from about 0.05 microsieverts to 0.12 microsieverts, doubling. So we're starting to see a pattern that whenever we have anomalous things happening, we have these little tiny radiation spikes. The rest of the evening was uneventful, other than some of our vehicles locking and unlocking themselves, which was very, very weird. The next morning, I had one of my team members, as we were getting ready to pack up and return home, said, "Trey, I want to tell you something that happened to me last night." He said, "I woke up about 4:30, and I had these two words just in my mind. And these two words were Knox Magbe, and phonetically spelled N-O-X-M-A-G-B-E-E. And once again, I woke up at 6:30 with these same words in my mind." This individual that's on our team is a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy, has an engineering degree, spent several years in U.S. Air Force Special Operations, and now does various other things. This was after we had done the CE-5 protocol. So we all packed up and went home, and I started doing a little research. I found out that the word Nox, N-O-X, is the Roman goddess of the night, the night goddess. The word Magbe turned out to be a bit more elusive, and I found a word in Old English, Magba, which was used in the early Middle Ages, which was almost contemporaneous with the Roman occupation of Britain. The Romans had just left during the early Middle Ages, so the term Magba and Nox were contemporaneous. Magba is translated into children or kindred. So you put the two words together and you have children of the night goddess. Now, what has been known to come to people in their bedrooms at night that are associated with UAPs that look like children?
Oh, I guess ask Willie Stryber, right?
Yeah, it's right on the cover of his book, Communion. Coincidence? I don't know.
Okay, so you think we're having aliens here, then now we're talking alien visitation.
Perhaps. Perhaps. It's worth noting that after our strange experiences with the boxes forming, you know, in the field and everything, after that, one of our team members told me that they were having nightmares after that weekend of people coming into their bedroom and standing over their bed. Which there's no reason this person should have nightmares about that, because that was nothing like what we experienced several years prior.
Let us leave the nightmares for a moment and take a deep breath. More to come with Trey, Gene, and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9090. 2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced Saturday that FEMA will begin to assist with housing the influx of unaccompanied minors at the southern border. In a statement, Mayorkas said that a Border Patrol facility is no place for a child and that FEMA would work to receive, shelter, and transfer unaccompanied minors until their immigration case can be processed. The Secretary's directive is for the next 90 days as border agencies deal with a record number of illegal border crossings, many of them being unaccompanied minors. Representative John Katko says adding those responsibilities to FEMA will take away resources from their vaccination efforts. The New York Republican tells Fox News that the order could impact many Americans.
That crisis was created by Biden's executive order, so there's no doubt the disorder at the border was by executive order, and now they're peeling away precious resources from FEMA. And American citizens who need to get have their vaccines and get the personal protective equipment and everything are maybe going to suffer because of the lack of attention.
This is USA Radio News. An apparent warning over COVID from Washington is not being well received in Florida. Mike Fortier reports from the USA Radio News Florida Bureau.
When President Biden addressed the nation Thursday night to mark 1 year since COVID came to our shores, he seemed to issue a warning.
Because if we don't stay vigilant and the conditions change, then we may have to reinstate restrictions to get back on track.
That remark not sitting well with Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who responded Friday.
Let me just tell you, there's no lockdowns in Florida, okay? We're not going to let anyone close schools. We're not going to let anyone take your jobs. And we're not going to let anyone close your business. So don't worry about that in Florida.
The numbers may back up Florida's approach of defying lockdowns. Despite the presence of the B.1.1.7 variant strain and concerns of a post-Super Bowl spike, COVID cases are still declining. Time will tell if spring break will reverse those gains. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And this is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Ah, nightmares. You never know about those things. Trey Hudson, author of Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch, published by Philip Mantle's Flying Disc Press. It's not a big book, but it's filled with lots of incredible information. Trey, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, we had the Knox Magby, you know, terminology coming up. We had, like I said previously, we had a member experiencing nightmares of people being in their room, working over them while they were asleep. So we went back as recently as 2021 and decided to once again not focus on the meadow, but go away from the meadow a little bit and explore another area. And I was able to videotape a couple of what I think may be UAPs. There were lights in the sky that did not behave nor present themselves like the numerous aircraft that we videotaped. So I had these on video that I had to clean up the video a little bit and do a little more analysis. But we are continuously researching this area, and the phenomena seems to be maybe evolving, you know, in some way. So it is just absolutely anybody's guess what we will experience next time we go out.
These radiation detectors that you're using, are they tuned to specific frequencies? Because, I mean, radiation is it's kind of an overarching term, but it spans a wide range of frequencies. So I'm just wondering, you know, when you're using the term radiation, are you using a specific instrument that is tuned to a specific frequency?
Yeah, it's actually measuring a radiation, you know, in microsieverts with a Mueller-Geiger tube. So, you know, it is radiation, you know, like you get when you have an X-ray.
Okay, that'd be like particle radiation then.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, but then again, EM, EM, when you start talking microsieverts and sieverts and so on.
These devices measure, you know, radiation, you know, just like you would receive when you have an X-ray. You know, my wife is a retired radiation therapist, so, you know, she and I have talked a little bit about this, and we determined that microsieverts you know, was a good unit of measure. So it's, okay. You know, it's actually radiation, you know, that we're detecting these very tiny spikes. Like I said, nothing dangerous or harmful, but, you know, in an empirical sense, it's certainly enough for us to take notice.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I just wanted to try and clarify that because, I mean, radiation, electromagnetic radiation is also radiation. It's
right.
Just that there's a whole different span of frequencies and
right.
And sources of it.
Yeah. So are microwaves, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, like, but, and, you know, there's neutron radiation and then there's just photon radiation.
Right.
So we've got two different kinds we're dealing with. Yeah, that we're dealing with in these cases. So, all right. So, we kind of got into the theory there that perhaps we're dealing with some sort of alien visitation. Now, do you think that these aliens are causal of the phenomena, or do you think maybe they're studying it just like you guys are?
That is an excellent. Yeah, that's an excellent point. The wonderful John Keel uses the term ultra-dimensionals, you know, because he wondered if perhaps that these entities were, or he uses ultra-terrestrials, that these entities were beyond our world and somehow. I like a term, paradimensional, you know, that these things perhaps come outside of our dimension. And maybe they're not coming from somewhere else. Maybe they're coming from here, but just in another dimension. So I started thinking about that. And I went back and I read a lot of articles on quantum physics, and my background's in psychology, so a lot of it was beyond me. But I tried to gather a good layman's grasp of this. And if you believe in string theory, where you have different realities, almost like a string or a rope, or you believe in or take the attitude that we have brains, B-R-A-N-E-S, which are dimensions hanging, you know, like a sheet, you know, like a bed sheet hanging on a clothesline. And all of these dimensions and existences occupy the same space in a much larger dimension. Now, what if that these strings or brains get so close to one another that they almost touch, that like the tiniest distance between two things is all that exists between these two points. So these dimensions aren't colliding with one another, but they're very close. Now, what if this is a natural occurrence? If this is a natural occurrence, these other entities, if this is what they are, could perhaps exploit that, like we exploit a natural bridge across or a tree across a river. You know, we exploit that natural occurrence. Maybe they're exploiting a natural occurrence. And maybe in order to open this up wide enough to pass through, they have to use a lot of energy to stabilize it. And that maybe is what we're picking up with our instruments. Or what if they somehow have determined a way to artificially create this, like we're no longer using a tree trunk across a river. We're building a bridge. So we're manufacturing a conveyance. So maybe they're using a lot of energy to create these little rifts, and they're exploiting that rift.
Interesting. One of the things that we talk about on the show from time to time along these lines is that maybe they're not doing any of that, and they're having, from their side in their universe, the same kind of experience, and they're just like walking along through their forest, and then all of a sudden some weird thing happens to them, and they look over and see, you know, guys dressed in military garb looking at them and going, we're not in Kansas anymore, you know, their version of Kansas, and then the whole thing is over, like you say, a natural event, and they go back to talk to their people and go, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. You know,
so basically, so what you're saying here, Randall, is basically we are their UFOs. And this reminds me of an article that Ray Palmer, when he was doing Flying Saucers magazine in the 50s and 60s, had an article whether the Martians, if there were Martians, had their own UFO phenomenon. In other words, our counterparts in another universe or other planet may have the same things happening to them that happened to us. Trey, what do you think?
Well, that's possible. Let me throw a real kink into that. Okay, we were talking about string theory, you know, existences or our universe being a string. Well, what if that string loops around on itself and we are seeing ourselves in the meadow in 2020 in 2016? What if we're witnessing ourselves as the existence or reality loops back around itself and maybe touches right there where these two instances coincide?
Interesting. Not long ago we had Dr. Michael Masters on, and he was talking about a theory of time called a block time, in which case what you're saying might be hypothetically possible in some way, shape, or form, maybe not to directly interact with it, but to detect it or have it be foreshadowed in some way. A very interesting idea, Trey.
Yeah. So the real truth is we don't know. Imagine, if you will, a anthill, and the ants are going about their little ant business, and somebody decides to build a road through the forest. So you've got this blacktop going through the forest, and these ants are out there going to doing their little ant business, gathering, you know, stuff to bring back to the anthill, and they run across this blacktop. They have no doggone idea what a road is. So they go up to this black shimmering strip, this ribbon, and they start pushing pheromones out to communicate with it. Well, obviously the road's not going to communicate back. So based on their existence, their life, their perceptions, they can't even conceptualize what a road is.
You know, that's such a fascinating possibility. We've got one more segment with Trey Hudson, and then he'll join us for after the PowerCast for some additional discussion. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire PowerCast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the PowerCast. After the PowerCast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the PowerCast Plus. With After the PowerCast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the PowerCast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with PowerCast guests. With PowerCast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the PowerCast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about PowerCast Plus.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're looking, Trey Hudson, on the universe as seen by ants. Then we look at the universe as seen by Teddy Bear, my pet dog, or anything else, and therefore consider how humans perceive UFOs and other phenomena, at what level they're interacting with us. Is that where we're taking it?
Right, exactly. You know, are we even able to conceptualize what we're seeing? You've heard of the wonderful book by Professor Rudy Rucker called Flatland, you know, which was mentioned in the book Cosmos. Carl Sagan talked about it on the Cosmos TV show. If you have a two-dimensional world, and everybody in this two-dimensional world is either a point or a line, you know, they have length and width, but no depth. And you have a stool, a three-legged milking stool, hanging above this two-dimensional world in the third dimension, and it drops down into this world. And when it drops down, three legs appear as spots in this two-dimensional world. So these two-dimensional people are saying, wow, we've got these three spots. They're three separate things. But they really aren't three separate things. They're all part of the same thing. So now this milking stool falls over on its side. So now these points have become these elongated things, the two legs looking at it from the side, and then the edge of the seat. So now these things have morphed into one object. So did two objects turn into one object? Well, no. It's all the same object. It's just we can't perceive it from our two-dimensional understanding. So as these beings, entities, craft, phenomena, whatever, come into our world, into our dimensions, you know, we are trying to pound square pegs into round holes and trying to morph these things and mold them into our understanding of the universe, and we might be completely off base.
That's really interesting. We can maybe get into a little bit of that in after the Paracast. One of our semi-regular guests, Chris Rutkowski, and I, we just completely reject that whole idea of the flatland analogy. There is some flaws in it, which we'll talk about later, because it's really interesting to talk about this stuff to try and figure out at least what might be possible, even if we don't know what the actual case is. Getting there requires that we come up with reasonable hypothesis that it is at least possible. Before we go there, I'd also just like to back up a little bit to when you guys were trying out the CE5 protocols, and that is CE5 by Greer. Now, Greer, he kind of co-opted the CE5 term because originally Close Encounters was coined by J. Allen Hynek. Right. And they had the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth kind. And the fifth kind in the Hynek Valley system includes positive or negative physical changes to the witness.
Right.
Now, that's completely different than Greer.
Right.
So for those who maybe aren't familiar with Greer, describe this CE5 protocol and exactly what you guys were doing.
Now, before you do that, I want to just say we don't really like to talk too much about Stephen Greer because he's kind of full of himself and he charges people to go on these crazy expeditions allegedly to see UFOs and then sign NDAs so they can't talk about it. And I haven't heard much from him in recent years. Let's leave it that way, but let's talk about the issues. Trey?
Yeah. Without getting into, the personality of Dr. Greer, we'll just talk about, the protocol. And the protocol is this. You and several like-minded individuals gather together, and you project your intention to whatever that you would like for it to manifest itself, appear to you, whatever the term you use. And that you are friendly, you mean it no harm, and all you do is wish to communicate and share knowledge. That sounds a little weird and new agey. I got it. I would say that that's an accurate description of it being weird and new agey, except for the fact that I was actually trained several years ago in coordinate remote viewing, CRV. Having gone through that and having experienced that and having worked actual cases where we remote viewed things, having read the documents that have been declassified by the CIA and also the documents that have been declassified from the Stanford Research Institute, I understand that remote viewing is a way of taking the human existence and projecting it outside of our three dimensions to another place. Taking all that into account, I do believe that you can project your intention, that intentions and thoughts do have some sort of form, albeit not physical form, and you can possibly communicate or draw something into the area in which, you are. So that's the CE5 protocol. We're not locked into, our own little boxes. We're willing to step out there and try different things to see if we get results. So the CE5 is just yet another tool in our toolbox. We try things, and if they get results, good. We'll continue to use them. If they don't get results, then we'll push it aside and perhaps try something else.
The CE5, the Greer protocol, if I recall correctly, there is that meditative sort of attempt to telepathically make a connection. But there's also, in some cases that I've read about, the use of lights and trying to attract them with various kinds of flashing lights and so on. Do you guys use any of that?
We don't use the lights. One of the things that they recommended, wonder about the efficacy of it, is certain tones that were recorded from crop circles. There's been some speculation by the CE5 folks that broadcast, audibly can have some effect. So,
audio frequencies, sort of?
Yes, yes.
If you take a tone generator out there or just a recording? Or
just a recording. Part of the protocol also talks about, of all things, using a CB radio. CB is 11 meters, in the shortwave. Just using that to broadcast intention, and greetings. Who knows? We'll probably continue to use it. We don't charge for it, and we're not, paying to use it. So, it's worth a shot.
When do you plan to go out and do some more research in the area?
Hopefully next month sometime. But we like to try to go out every few months if possible. Sometimes, like I said before, it might be a year before we get back out there. It's really dependent on people's schedules and, what they have going on and, if we can all get together at a specific time.
Very interesting. And we'll have to get you back on the show to update us on any of the progress you've made in your future explorations out there.
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, if our listeners want to get a hold of you, do you have a website they can check you out at?
Oh, much to my eternal shame is the Oxford Paranormal website has not been kept up. I am not a webmaster. That stuff is beyond me a bit. The best way to keep up with us is to go to the Oxford Paranormal Society Facebook group, which we do keep up. And we have, several people commenting and, asking questions and things like that. So we're usually found there. So that's probably the best way.
And the book, The Metal Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch, I assume it's available from Amazon and all the usual offenders.
Yes, sir, it is.
And, of course, from the Flying Disc Press website that Philip Mantle maintains. And by the way, I noticed that, speaking of things that are done to enhance the brand, by the way, that's flyingdiscpress.com. Philip is also selling T-shirts and other merchandise. He knows about merchandising, so that's really good to check that out. Speaking of merchandising, we do our own share of merchandising. We have official Paracast merchandise where we have four different logos. And if you go to the Paracast.shop, once again, the Paracast.shop, you can check out all sorts of merchandise, you know, the T-shirts and all sizes from mini-me up to seven-footers. So if you're a seven-footer, I think we got something for you if you're a seven-footer. Go to the Paracast.shop, pick the logo, pick the merchandise, and enjoy. If you have comments about the service, let us know. We also offer the Paracast Plus. What's that? We offer the app for the Paracast podcast, and our guest this week, Trey Hudson, we'll be on with more interesting stuff and to answer the questions we didn't get a chance to ask him now because he's got so much to talk about. And that's part of the Paracast Plus, the After the Paracast podcast. We also offer this show free of the network ads and better quality audio. All this for a low price. Check out the Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. And we still have a few coupon codes for a free download of The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary with 3 extra hours of material. You have to sign up for 5 years or a lifetime, which works fine because the Paracast has been around 15 years so far. Go to the Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. Trey Hudson, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a true joy and honor to be here.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.